Edge in 1936. He made it for the British Drama League, and it's a short story about things that happened in and around battle in those days.
Yes, it was a sort of private recording, I suppose, was it?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to ask Auntie to,
because
who's sitting beside me.
Auntie should know.
She should know.
Come on, Auntie, tell
us
all about it.
He made it for the Drama League in London, you see.
Yes.
It was really to help actors and actresses to get the phonetic, do their plays and get the right dialect.
Mm.
They did many more, of course, besides that.
Yes, in fact, on the other side it says Cockney, I noticed.
Yes.
But that wasn't him, of course.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no.
How did he qualify to do this? I mean, why did they choose him, do
you think?
Well,
that I can't tell you.
Really?
I didn't know he was going to do it, really, until it was done.
Did he tell you?
No, he didn't tell me he was going to do it. But afterwards, of course, he did.
Yes.
He was like that, you see. He was a bit secretive about what he used to do, and he liked to surprise you. He's very interested in drama and all that sort of
things. Well, Ivor, congratulations to you for holding on to this record. Have you played it a few times to yourself?
I played it quite a few times in the old days when all I had was an acoustic gramophone.
Uh-huh.
And I remember buying packets of needles in Woolworths for sixpence. And they lasted about two sides, and you had to throw them away.
I think you were meant to throw them away anyway, one way or another.
Well, actually, my grandfather used to use them afterwards for picture framing.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
in the
so
backs of the pictures.
It didn't get wasted.
No, not a bad idea. Good as tacks, of course.
Yes.
Well, lovely to have a record like this. Now, talking about Sussex, are you both Sussex-born and bred, Auntie, are you?
No, I was born in Northamptonshire.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So how did you come down to Sussex?
Well, I married my husband. He came from battle, you see.
Mm.
That's how it happened.
That explains all, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
Where did you meet him, on a holiday or...?
Well, actually, I met him in Hyde Park.
Did you now?
It sounds funny, but he was...
Yeah.
I was listening to the band, and he was, and a friend of ours knew him and introduced us. That's how it happened.
Lovely. Well, I think that's a lovely place to meet Hyde Park. Very romantic, I would have thought. Listening to the band in deck chairs, do you think he was sitting? I wonder. Can you remember?
Yes, we were.
How lovely. Now, Ivor, of course, you were educated at Battle School, weren't you? So,
yes.
So you must be Sussex-born and bred.
I am Battle-born and bred, yes.
Yes. Now, what about this dialect in Hastings, for example, as you walk about the streets? Would you claim still to hear dialect?
Not much.
No,
not much.
It's dying out. I think it started dying out when, during the First World War, when soldiers used to mix together, and I know it certainly had an effect on my dialect. I think sharing a barrack room with 23 other lads, all of who speak different tongues, you know.
That's right.
Geordies and Scouses and Irish, Scots and Welsh, you know, you soon get a mixture of everything.
Well, you won't believe this, but I have a letter here from South Croydon, just to show that we have listeners all over Sussex, Surrey, Kent, Hampshire, the Isle of Wight, and France as well. And this is from Mr. and Mrs. Everett, who are listeners to this programme, and they're enjoying the item. They started all this about dialects, you see. And it says, if you happen to interview anybody with the Sussex tongue, perhaps they could explain, well, we'll do this a little later on, one or two sayings like Stone the Crows or Black as Newgate's Knocker is one of them, but we'll worry about that in a second. This goes on, when I was in the Royal Air Force during the war, I spent many months in Nissen huts with 20-odd lads from different parts of the country.
Hey, strange.
Is that not strange?
Yeah.
I used to pride myself on knowing where they'd come from within a few miles by their tongue.
So did I.
So did I. Yes, so did I. Geordies and Scotsmen. And that was one of the good things about service. There were many bad things, of course. Well, look, let's listen to this record. I don't know. I've not played it before. And this is rather special equipment, so it should be all right.
Yes.
So we're going to introduce this. Just tell us who it is, and then we'll listen to it then.
Well, let Auntie do that.
Auntie,
what
tell
am
us.
I to say? It's by Reginald?
Yes. Yes, you make the announcement, you see. You be a disc jockey for a moment. This is Reginald White?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Reginald White, and he's going to talk on the Sussex dialect. Oh, dear.
Auntie, well done.
So, you see, I be right about that there, mates. The little gal coming from the school yonder past the byre. Now, there she be, going down the road through the red gate, on the left-hand side of the way. I say, the silly mare's gone straight up to the door of the wrong house. Foolish child, what be she thinking on? Just where she were very likely chance to find that cantankerous, shriveled, deaf old feller. We all know him well enough, don't we? At the name of Thomas, ain't it? Well, he can abide the children. Wand the rough edge of the old chap's tongue soon larn her not to do it again. I lay he's a treasure. Look here, ain't it true? See her tearing off, poor little soul. That's his tune, surely. Did you ever see such a sight in the world? Here come the schoolmaster. Hark at the row. I tell you summat I wouldn't tell anybody. There was an old woman lived alone in a cottage in the woods called Old Mother Carnford, and she caused a lot of trouble to the people there. If anybody offended her, she'd cast a spell on his cats and dogs and such like to make them go sick. And she'd wish the people misfortune as well, and they was took bad too. You can be sure the people in those parts was middling careful not to offend her, and they never went nigh the place. Even the baker and the grocer from the town would leave the order outside the garden gate. She's dead now, and it's a middling funny thing. Squire can get no one to live in the old cottage, and there's nothing there now but brambles and nettles.
Amazing. Well, listen, actually, that goes on. That was only half the record, in fact, wasn't it? How about the quality, then, Ivor?
Well, it's amazing, actually. It's much better than the copy I've got. Because that's Auntie's copy you've got there. Mine's got a lot of surface noise, and I and my son tried to clean it up by putting it through a noise gate and graphic equaliser, but we couldn't do much with it.
Sounds very complicated, doesn't it, Auntie?
Just to me. Very complicated.
Yours is a lovely copy. You must have looked after that. You polish it or something.
No, we don't.
Well, that must have brought back memories, hearing it loud and clear like that. Fascinating. And funnily enough, as I sat here listening to it, reminded me of one gentleman who's a regular on Radio Sussex. I don't know whether I'm right, but Charles Bowen is our gardening expert on a Saturday, and it sounded to me very much like Mr. Charles Bowen.
Yes, that's quite right.
Yes, I wonder whether we must perhaps find out from Charles. I know his wife and Charles, they listen to the programme. We must ask them about that. Well, delightful. I think when Diana comes along, and she's not here at the moment, of course, we've got all the tillers coming in the studio too, Ivor. You've chosen a good morning this morning. You really...
Sure, my wife's listening.
Well, I'm sure she's going to enjoy it. But when Diana comes along, I think perhaps we'll listen to a little bit more of that, because that was quite fascinating. And for goodness sake, look after those records, won't you?
I will. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course you will, but it's important. And my colleague Keith Slade, I'm sure, would ask you to do the same. Keith records for archives, you know, the Sussex dialect, and has many examples, and that is one very good one, and I'm sure Keith would like a copy of that.
Yes, I've got 12 more, really, different dialects, you know.
Yes, in the same series, effectively,
yes,
I suppose. Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed, and we say that was about 50 years ago then,
yes.
In 1936.
The inscription that Reg wrote on my copy was the one that he gave to his mum and dad, and he signed it, "Love to Mum and Dad from Reg, 12th of the 4th, 36.
Well, when I was a very small bouncing baby boy. How about that? That's fascinating, and it's nice to remember him on this Sussex Sunday morning, isn't it?
Yes.
He didn't talk much dialect, not in the ordinary way. You know, he got out of it, I suppose. He'd been living in London for some time, and he'd been in the war and one thing or the other.
Didn't talk posh, I hope.
No, he's got a nice voice.
Not like what you do.
Not like us on the BBC, no, quite right. Well, it's a delight to welcome you both. Please stay with us a little longer. It would be nice. We have the news, of course.
Particular record.
I don't know where it is in the charts. I'll try and find out for you. Just a moment. It's number 10, that particular record, and it's about 12 minutes past 10 o'clock on Sunday. BBC Radio Sussex, broadcasting to Sussex and Hampshire and Kent and Surrey and the Isle of Wight and Canada and Winchester, all over the place. Oh, dear, we are. It's amazing, you know. And I've had one little mention here just before we meet our guest today.
We throw stones at them.
That's right. I don't know whether you were listening to the programme earlier on, but we had this fascinating gramophone record from Mr. White.
I just got up in time to hear that, John.
Goodness for that. That's Ivor in there. He's waiting for his gramophone record, so we're going to have to listen to this record. We heard part of it, and I thought we might listen to the next part of it, in fact, and see what you think, whether it strikes you as an authentic dialect, Diana. So now listen to this dialect. Anyway, listen to this dialect. This is the gentleman, and we had this a little earlier on, and so let's see if we can pick up the story here now.
There was an old woman lived alone in a cottage.
Now, that doesn't sound like him. I tell you what we've done. That's very interesting indeed. That was a very interesting dialect,
that
Diana.
Was indeed,
you'll agree.
Yes. Lower Sussex, I should think.
I would think it was Lower Sussex, and he's probably been in the King's Head pub, probably. But when he got out again...
Called old Mother Carnford, and she caused a lot of trouble to the people there. If anybody offended her, she'd cast a spell on his cats and dogs and such like to make them go sick. And she'd wish the people misfortune as well. And they was took bad, too. You can be sure the people in those parts was middling careful not to offend her. And they never went nigh the place. Even the baker and the grocer from the town would leave the order outside the garden gate. She's dead now. And it's a middling funny thing. Squire can get no one to live in the old cottage. And there's nothing there now but brambles and nettles. This is a little yarn my grandfather told me years ago about our fire brigade. You see, it was like this here. Soon as we heard of the fire, we tells Cowboy. And he had to nip round to all the firemen's houses. Each house has got a board nailed on the wall with fireman writ on it. Cowboy not fussed at old Bill Smith. Bill's wife thought as though he was selling summat, as she was middling deaf. Howsomever, when he writ fire on a bit of paper, she said, Bill ain't in, and he wanna be home for noon. He's down Sammy's field, spreading. He'll be pretty mad if he misses this fire, like he did last year when they had their pictures took. Well, Cowboy rushed off, and out of trips and about, he found Bill. When Bill got home, he found his missus had polished his helmet. And out of changing, he tore off up to the fire station t'other side of the town, because the first man always got 5 bob. Then one of them had to go down to the George to get the cab horse, which they found had gone to the railway station for some luggage. As old Tom Airward was too eat up with the rheumatiz, the butcher's boy went and fetched him to the fire station. And the old ass looked middling queer after all that galloping. And when they was all ready and got to the fire, they found another lot had put the fire out. Thought a mussy me captain was mad. Now a little bit of poetry about Sussex by Miss Rudyard Kipling. I'm just in love with all these three, the weald and the marsh and the down country. Now I dunno which I love the most, the weald or the marsh or the white chalk coast. I've buried my heart in a ferny hill, fixed a little low shaw and a girt high gill. Oh, up bine yaller and wood smoke blue, I reckon you'll keep her middling true. I've loosed my mind for to out and run on a marsh that was old when kings begun. Oh, Romney Level and Brenzett Reed, I reckon you know what my mind needs. I've given my soul to the Southdown grass, and sheep bells tinkled where you pass. Oh, Furl and Ditchling and sails at sea, I reckon you keep my soul for me.
Well, that was lovely.
That was really lovely, yes.
Yes. That was Reg White, and that was recorded in 1936, 50 years ago. Fascinating. Would you say that that was close to the Sussex
dialect? Oh, yes, I would.
You would?
Yes. Not being around 50 years ago, but...
Well, indeed.
It certainly sounds authentic to me.
I've just taken the record off the turntable. It was on the Columbia, a gramophone label, or certainly part of that organisation, And it was number 8B, Sussex, R.W. White from Battle, and included a standard passage, The Old Woman, The Fire Brigade, the story of the Fire Brigade, which we've just heard, a three-part song by Rudyard Kipling, which is very appropriate, of course. And it was by special permission, and it's beautiful condition, and we must let Auntie have her record back. She's still with us. Lovely. Well, now, after the news, I think we'll make a phone call or two, Diana. How about that?
Yes, sir.